Hello! Welcome to episode 4F17, The Old Man and Lisa, written by John Swartzwelder. Original air date, April 20th, 1997. I'm Josh Weinstein.
I'm George Meyer.
This is Matt Groening.
Mark Kirkland, I was the director of the episode.
Yardley Smith, I'm the voice of Lisa Simpson.
Dan Castellaneta, voice of Zombie Recycler Man.
And this is David Cohen. I did not write the script, but it's based on a story I suggested.
So, Dave, do you want to talk about the origins of his story then?
Well, like all of our episodes, it's probably based on our minute-to-minute experience of sitting around a room and piles and piles of cans and bottles and wrappers sitting in front of us and thinking, like, what can I see without turning my head that I can base an episode on?
The sun burns out. This planet is doomed.
Now, of course, this is also a somewhat environmental episode, and it sort of became a running thing that John Swartzwelder would be the writer of these environmental episodes. Because was it was originally with Whacking Day got the Environmental Media Award?
Yes, I think so. That was a story that I kind of came up with, and then John ran with it. And he became known as the conscience of the staff.
Which is funny because I think he is a self-declared anti-environmentalist.
I once heard John Swartzwelder give a long lecture about how much more rainforest there is now than there was 100 years ago. And satellite photos prove it and stuff like that.
So, Ben, I think it became a running thing that if there was an episode like this, it should be John who writes it. Because he'll give his special zing to it.
Gets just the right level of sarcasm to it.
In one of his episodes, he described a recycling center as a couple of hippies surrounded by garbage.
That's, we'll see that coming up in this episode.
It's this one, oops.
I can tell you a little more about the origin of this, because last night, rummaging, I found my original notes, and I can tell you that the original title of the episode was Lisa and Burns. I feel that was a better title, more exciting. Yes.
That's, but we always were looking for some sort of different combinations of characters.
And the titles got a lot punnier over the years. In the early days, we would have titles like Lisa's Pony.
Right.
And then later, they became so Byzantine that I couldn't understand what the episode was about from the title.
Well, we never thought this episodes were going to be known by their titles either. They were just for us, you know?
Right.
And now,
yeah, that is an interesting issue. That only is in the digital age when people have this information being broadcast along with the show and the name of the episode now appears on TV that we've had to think about that. But it really, that change happened, you know, 6-7 years ago, something like
that. I also think it's funny that the episode code number is now well known. I saw a toy, a Simpsons toy, the Dan that you had today, that Homer Simpson ironic punishment.
Oh, the ironic
thing.
Punishment,
it's from
yeah.
Episode 1F04 on the box.
I didn't notice
that. Or whatever episode it was. Yeah.
Was there a rhyme or reason to the way you coded those episode numbers? Because it always seemed completely random to us, didn't it, Dan?
Yes. Much of the show is.
Mark, as the animation representative, do you have an answer?
We've always been as baffled as...
I will tell you, I saw, when I was working on the Tracy Ullman show, I saw that the Tracy Ullman shows had weird codes. So I coded the scripts that I wrote for The Simpsons interstitials, and I wrote MG01, MG02, and I thought, because I thought you got to make
sense.
Up your own. Turns out it's an accounting thing.
I always figured
computers, Fox does. Yeah.
I always figured it was a very highly, highly paid executive in a tall tower who got paid millions of dollars to come up with those a year.
That's true.
If you really want to know the minutiae of this stuff, and I think you do, I've just found this out recently. There's the main code for the episode, and there's a second code, which is used for union purposes to pay the writers and the actors and stuff like that.
For writers, in case, it's 40.
It's in case like the episode number changes during the production that they'll have a constant code for these other payments as well. So there's a more secret code that no one knows for each episode.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I have
That's
a question.
Right.
David or Bill or George, who came up with these stock titles, that the names of these stocks that Burns holds in his portfolio?
I think probably The Room and John.
John as an old-timey buff. I know he did Baltimore Opera Hat Company, but those we love old-timey stuff, and a chance to do old-time stock names just delighted us to know.
Amalgamated Spats and Congreves.
Was Confederated Slaveholding still in there?
Yes.
Okay, that was in my original notes. So. But that, to me, I was thinking like these. A lot of these sound like Josh Weinsteinisms.
Why, thank you, sir. We loved old-timey stuff and inflicted it on everybody we could.
Hey, look, there's a screen with something on it.
What?
Oh, Mommy, help!
Are you saying my money's all gone?
Now, part of the origin is we wanted to do an episode where Burns goes bankrupt, right?
Well, David? I can tell you, here's the intermediate title of this episode on John Swartzwelder's first draft was Burns Goes Broke. So, yes, apparently that was a big focus of our attention at some point.
But on your original version, he did not go broke?
No, he did. It was pretty much the same. What else can I tell you that didn't happen?
Well, the first thing you'll have to do is move out of the bank's house. I'll help you pack.
Quiet, Smithers and Burns are talking.
Now, did this episode win any environmental awards? Speaking of environmental awards.
I can't remember because in the end, and I think John Swartzwelder did it very intentionally, there was the sequence of Lisa running for the street saying recycling is evil.
Don't recycle.
Don't recycle. And I don't, if the people in the EMAs watched the whole episode, they might have.
Oh, man, stink.
Ooh.
Don't listen to him, sir. You've got him in.
Have we already won one?
Did one like four.
No, but by the time this episode aired.
I think at least two before this episode.
Okay.
So maybe they get tired of us.
Is that Bret Hitman
Hart?
Brett Hitman Hart, who Bill directed and said, like most professional wrestlers, he was a real gentleman. He was very nice.
Did he wear a pink...
Wrestlers are always very specific. You better put my right outfit on.
Yeah.
Put on my pink tank.
You know, I always thought that was Hank doing that voice. But that's why I was surprised.
And one of the fans pointed out that we forgot to put the four stars on his trunks.
Oh, get it.
For his four kids, I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
Did he not take issue with you when he saw it?
He threw me into a wall pretty hard. I don't remember anything after that.
Pretty much, yeah.
But I think he's one of those Canadian wrestlers who's very polite.
May I hit you with this chair, please?
There's no stars.
Ha! Couldn't happen to anyone more deserving.
They're not going to close the plant, are they?
No, the bank put Lenny in charge.
Attention, everybody.
Lenny's really the soul of the show, don't you think?
Well, he ends up being a pretty good boss.
How did you ever come up with the idea that Lenny should be the boss?
David, was that in your...
I don't know. Well,
there's only like it could be Lenny, Carl,
or Homer.
Troy.
Yeah.
I don't want Homer.
Now, this was funny to me. Why doesn't he want to touch the dishes?
It's just this old-timiness where everything in the old days used to have a thing that you would hold, used to pick it up. You would never pick up anything directly with your hand. he believed that was a saucer tong.
I see.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was some radioactive thing, like it was tongs.
No, it's just where they used to have a lot of accoutrements.
I think I noticed watching this again, you actually start to like Burns. You know, you actually start to see he's actually kind of gentle and trying to be helpful.
Yeah, part of the intent, by the way, that's a recycled shot of the shopping cart we always used, is that we wanted to see Burns as a real old guy and see what would happen if he suddenly had to be out in the world.
And one thing we did in the animation to help it is notice, like, he doesn't have his permanent scowl anymore. We started drawing him with the round eyes. And it's kind of cool because he misleads the audience as well as Lisa for the end of the story. So
now that can't chocolate thing. I can't believe that we actually.
I can't believe you.
We're allowed
either.
To do that because we later on, Bill and I are doing another show. We ran into huge trouble to Count Chocula, General Mills people who gave us a huge runaround, and we weren't allowed to use Count Chocula at all. But
there it was okay.
Yeah, here it was okay. Anyway.
It's quite, you know, there are so many choices in a supermarket. It's quite brilliant that you decided to place him there, because where else, of course, would he be utterly baffled with all of, somebody obviously has always made these decisions for him.
This is, in part, it's based on that famous time when George Bush Sr. went to a supermarket, and he was very baffled by the scanner.
Really?
And that was, I believe that actually is the genesis.
It is. The original notes here, he actually ran into George Bush Sr. in the store. Since we, as you remembered, George Bush Sr. moved to Springfield.
Oh, right.
Earlier. So they were both discussing how the scanner was an amazing futuristic thing.
There you go, honey. That's about all.
This is great realistic Homer drunk acting.
We've never done that.
And also, are his eyes bloodshot, Mark? I know.
Yeah, they're slightly bloodshot, and I think the dark upper lid was a mistake. I think I had asked for the lower lids to be have like a bag under the eye, and we got this back in color, and I was like, well, I won't say anything. And,
but it's good. It's like his skull is filling with fluid.
Yeah. I love it, yeah.
I don't think we've ever managed to get Homer sickly drunk like that before.
At least it was for a good cause.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lisa handled it well.
Lisa the trooper.
I love this staring window.
Oh, this makes me both so very so sad. It's so realistic.
Oh. They've got an obituary bulletin board.
So this is how the money.
Is that a reference to that old Henry story about the last leaf
on the vine?
I was
just thinking about that. Yeah, the last leaf.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Old lady was looking out the window and said, when the last leaf falls off, I'm going to die. And at the very end, it turned out that an artist had painted the leaf. Or the girl, it was a young girl, was kind of very sick or something.
Very touching story.
Sure, it's based on that.
Yeah, okay.
What I want to know is, will you help me get my money back?
Ha, I'd never help you. You're the worst man in the world.
Yes, that's the kind of moxie I'm looking for. You're hired.
No, I'm not.
Sir, I'm so sorry my grocer committed you. We'll never shop there again.
Not now, Smithers. I've got an empire.
I really like those characters of the grocers who never came back. They're sort of like the Lenny and Carl supermarkets. They're gone forever.
Here's a famous reference.
They didn't test well.
Yeah. Oh, now this, of course, for anybody watching this who's not familiar, it's all the opening sequence of a show called That Girl, starring Marlo Thomas in the 60s.
And I did pull the film and watch it, and we video framed it, just trying to make it sync up as closely as we could.
If you like The Simpsons, you'll love That Girl.
You know, it's funny, when I was watching this episode on the DVD before this commentary, I thought, Lisa doesn't really sound like herself. It's a little bit deeper than usual. And there was a very short period of time where I don't know actually what happened. I had like a huge brain fart and my voice got slightly deeper for the character. Now everything's been good for years, but every so often I'll hear an episode and go, oh, Yardley, you're having not such a good day there.
But I like when it's sort of got so that odd. Little guttural.
I like the guttural, but this, like, pitched slightly lower.
Did you know it at the time?
I didn't, obviously, I would have striven to fix it.
In staging, we placed Lisa up on the stairs to give her a kind of a superior position, and then she kind of comes down to Burns. But it was all just a stage, you know, give her the upper hand.
See that, boy? Why aren't you making any business deals?
I'll do it this afternoon.
You mean there are actually people who will pay good money for garbage?
Not good money, really. Each can will get you a nickel.
No, don't poo-poo a nickel, Lisa. A nickel will buy you a steak and kidney pie, a cup of coffee, a slice of cheesecake, and a newsreel, with enough change left over to ride the trolley from Battery Park to the Polo Grounds.
Super saturated old-timey sentence for you.
Lisa Simpson's
I like
so
this.
Dry.
I really like the writing here with this. You really set this up right with the can holder, because it's like, you see it a couple times in action before you finally reveal how the thing is used in the end, so it's no great surprise.
We seem to have a running gag whenever one of the Simpsons rescues a small animal and throws it back into the water that it will be eaten shortly thereafter.
Yeah, it's kind of a cynical view, isn't it?
Kind of reminds me of Bart the Daredevil when the lion pulls Lance Murdoch back into the water.
Temporize, man!
Well, Lisa?
Now, Dan, that hippie voice, is based on any particular person?
Well, it's sort of loosely based on Dennis Hopper from Apocalypse Now. I just love that character.
There's a can.
And from our... That's a cute callback joke. When Lisa says to Burns, can, and then just now he says, can, because he doesn't want to. I mean, it's a stretch, I suppose.
And picking up trash for a living.
Please be Flanders, please. Be Flanders.
Excuse me, Mr. Burns. Now that you're completely ruined, how do you feel?
Excellent. I'm on my way back to the top. I've turned these cans into can-do.
Well, you smell terrible. Good luck to you, sir.
He went from stinking rich to just plain stinking.
I love when Marge is a comedian. But she makes jokes. It's so, they're also a lot easier to write.
He's broke.
Two in a row. No, we're so nice and supportive.
You've really turned my life around these past few weeks, Lisa. I've got my own business again, my beloved employees. No concern it.
Now, Mark, did you guys have to design any new guys for the retirement home?
Well, when we do a shot like that, we first pull all the old stuff that we can, and then we sometimes do add them right in layout.
And then there's a casting call out for other character.
Well, wait, is that old
That's
Jewish
old Jewish man.
Old Jewish man.
Wow, even I didn't know he was so committed to recycling. See? I told you Mr. Burns has changed. See?
Lisa, nobody likes a gloater, right, homie?
Uh-huh.
See?
Yes, thank you, everyone. But 10% of your applause should go to my little partner, Lisa Simpson. For if it were not for her infectious moralizing, we would not be here today to witness the unveiling of the Lil Lisa Recycling Plant.
No. I always think that the ultimate use for this recycling plant is Burns. This is truly evil. But was he simply not getting it? Was it in your mind that he was just misguided?
I think it was that he just couldn't help being Burnsy.
Yeah.
That it was not he did not have an evil plan like I'm going to do this and then turn
it
on everybody.
Premeditated.
Like the sun plot. It was really like he can't help being himself. He just sort of has this gene in him.
Yeah.
So it seems like he really is well-meaning, and he just doesn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, up to this reveal, I really like the guy, actually. He's turned, you know. And even when in the end he goes to give the check to Lisa, it's a really earnest effort on his part.
Yeah, he's pretty proud of himself, I think.
And here's another reference to this thing. That's the third time you've seen that. I want to mention one animator's name, Tomi Yamaguchi.
Did he have to draw this little...
Yes. He's Japanese, and he came from years of doing Japanese anime films where they do incredible drafting problems, drawing, and he drew all this.
Back at this time, I used to read the stage directions when we would have a table reading of the script.
Dave would be the narrator.
I would be the narrator, and I would say, you know, I would just say... Homer walks to the door, and then Dan Castellaneta would say, hello, Flanders.
Hello, door.
Yeah. So, but at this particular table reading, at this spot, when we got to the slurry, for some reason I was overcome with laughter, and I started crying, and I could not continue reading, and I just basically collapsed in laughing on the table. When I heard the word slurry, is what did pink slurry, or is that what it is, or a grayish pink slurry, or something like any, which I believe was George Meyer's contribution, by the way, the concept
like
of the slurry.
It must have come from you.
Yeah, well, when I was a Boy Scout, we used to hike in the mountains, and we would find this pink goo on the hillside and go, what is this? And it turned out to be fire-retardant slurry that had been dropped from planes.
Oh.
And so I just thought it would be a cool word to use for this stuff.
This is an invasion of the body snatchers.
Yeah, it's actually, seems like almost like a lot of actual shots.
Yeah. Well, again, we referenced the actual film.
The original, right?
Yes. The Kevin McCarthy.
Movie.
Yeah.
You can't mix plastic with paper.
That, this part particularly.
Right, that's when he jumped. Kevin McCarthy jumps in the truck and sees all the pods.
Even this.
What I learned from that movie is if you're trying to warn people and sound sane, don't say, I tell you at the end of it.
No one ever even said, like, if there's gold in them hills, I tell you. It's the same thing. It doesn't work.
They're real, I tell you.
Even worse, I tells you.
But the interesting thing is that that net that is hauling in all the stuff in the ocean is based on a real thing, which is these gigantic drift nets that are now just vacuuming the seas and have been responsible for a tremendous destruction of marine life.
Because it's interesting that in that net there's actually no garbage. It's fish and plants. So that was always what...
If you put garbage in it, people go, well, it seems like it's sort of good, I guess.
But see, I thought it should be mixed with garbage. He just didn't care that he got all the good stuff as well.
That's...
You should have asked me about that.
That should have consulted you. But drift nets now are even big. It's a much bigger thing now than... I wonder if they got the idea from...
Yes, from us.
No!
You do whatever your conscience tells you.
There's a nice piece of animation of Homer coming up right here.
Yeah. That's why I love this.
It's just a dead weight.
There
now we got the eyes
the
right.
Eyes, yes.
Those look like eyes after a heart attack.
It's all right. I understand. But we really could have used that $12,000.
Dad, 10% of $120 million isn't $12,000. It's...
Now, at this time, we said you could stop the series right now because Homer had a heart attack and he might have died. And so we gave Fox an out point. Matt, you want to
say? I would like to put in a plug. Brand new, hot off the presses for John Swartzwelder's third novel, How I Conquered Your Planet, another Frank Burley adventure, available online from Kennedale Books.
You can also get it through Amazon, I think.
And Amazon, yeah. Really, really funny.
Anybody else
have
anything to plug?
A sci-fi romp. Yeah. What? Anything anybody else to plug?
Anybody else have anything to plug?
I have a garage sale coming up.
I'll be appearing in Arsenic and Old Lace at the South Repertory Theater.
Are you?
No.